This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I can have what it says I can have. Today I will be taught the word of faith. I boldly confess that my mind is alert, my heart is receptive, and I will never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so we are in a series entitled Changing Your Life for the Better. Changing your life for the better. And that is the whole reason why Jesus came, is for you to live a better life. John 10 and 10 teaches us that the thief cometh not but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. All right, I need a little help. Jesus says, I've come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. In the Amplified, it says, to the full till it overflows. So we understand that Jesus came that we might have this better life. Now, in order to live this better life, I've been saying this week after week, how many know there's times that we have to make changes? Change is, change can be difficult, but change is necessary for us to keep moving forward in faith, to keep moving forward in God so we can see his goodness in our lives. When we begin to talk about change, my definition for change is a product of human effort sustained by divine help. So when I make a move toward God, God makes a move toward me. And so we've talked about transformation. We talked about freedom. We talked about several topics. Today, I wanted to really just talk to you about overcoming obstacles. I feel a faith series coming on soon because, you know, it's my job to keep you in faith, and I want to make sure that you understand how faith works. As you come to the ministry, you know, because we always have new people coming, which is an amazing thing, and I can't always teach on faith. I can't always teach on giving. I can't always teach on the Holy Spirit, some of the foundational things, but just know that everything we teach is on our website, and if you are tired of scrolling because you can't find what you're looking for, if you call the office, we'll make sure you find what you need in those different areas. So today I want to talk to you about overcoming obstacles. Obstacles are actually common to the believer. You always hear me quote Psalms 34 and 19, and it teaches us that many are the afflictions of the righteous, but it doesn't stop there. It says, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. And so thank God we serve a God who has made a commitment that he's never going to leave us. He's never going to forsake us. He's going to be with us to the end. And watch this. And whatever we're going through, he's going to help us get through it. Amen. And so we have to understand that. 1 Corinthians, the 10th chapter and the 13th verse, it says, no test or temptation that comes your way is beyond the course of what others have had to face. And you've got to understand, the good thing about understanding the scripture is it's telling you that even if you're going through something tough, you're not the first person that ever has went through this, that somebody else has went through it, has gotten through it, and if they've gotten through it, you can get through it. Does that make sense? He says, all you need to remember, I love this so much, is that God will never let you down. I love that so much because sometimes, unfortunately, people will let you down, and even friends will let you down. Maybe family will let you down, but you serve a God who will never, ever let you down. The Bible says he'll never let you be pushed past your limit. So if you're dealing with it, you can handle it. You got it. He'll always be there to help you come through it. And so thank God for the faith that we see in the scripture, understanding that obstacles are temporary as long as we use our faith. You got it. And so I think that that's the key. You got it. They must be temporary. The Bible says momentary in the King James Version. And so we have to, it says for our light afflictions, you got it, are but for a moment. So yes, we go through things, you got it, but we use our faith and we get on the other side. All right. We're not walking, watch this, we're not walking to victory. Let's just say that those keyboards, that's victory. So, I'm just going to walk to victory, and so it's just going to be tough till I get there. No, I'm walking in victory. So even though I haven't yet gotten the full manifestation of what I believe for, every day I'm walking in victory. Every day I'm seeing God's goodness in my life. Every day I'm seeing him show up in different ways in my life. So even though I haven't yet seen the full manifestation of what I'm believing for, every time I put one foot in front of the other, you can keep going to bed and waking up, I begin to see God show up in my life over and over again. Does that make sense? Yeah. And so I think, hey man, well, if you want to clap, go ahead and clap. Don't give me a good clap. Don't patty cake in the house of the Lord. All right. So I think that what we have to understand is that anytime you start going through something, you know, you have to really focus, you know, on what you're going through. You know, you have to focus on the Word of God. You have to focus on what the Word of God says. I'm going to stand on it. I'm going to apply it in my life. I'm going to speak the Word. You know, I'm going to confess the Word. I'm going to stand on the Word. You know, I'm going to do what the Word is telling me to do so I can, watch this, get over what I'm going through. And I think that a lot of times when we start going through something, here comes the enemy to distract us from staying focused on what we know we need to do. And so what we have to do is we have to make sure that we keep our focus, that we don't lose our focus. The enemy wants you to lose your focus because he realizes if he can cause you to lose your focus, he's going to take you from a place of faith over to a place of fear. Your fear is the opposite of faith. It's one or the other. Got it? I'm either walking in faith or I'm not. You got it? I'm not being mean. That's just how that is. I'm either in faith, I'm believing God, or I'm not in faith. And so we have to stay in faith. You got it? And that's why the writer says in the book of James, thinking not strange concerning in these fiery trials as to try you as though some strange thing has happened unto you. And he says, but rejoice. You got it? You want me to rejoice and I'm going through? Yes, because you have to understand that God is with you and God is greater. He is bigger. Well, he's better too. He's bigger and better, hello, than whatever it is you're going through. And so he's going to get you through it if you stay in faith. Does that make sense? So I really want to talk to you today because I thought about going really the faith way, but I'm like I said, just get ready because we're going to have a faith refresher coming our way. I think we could use one. And so, but I wanted to talk to you today really about refocusing. Since I'm going to be talking about faith here real soon, I wanted to really be talking about refocusing. And please understand that you don't need to beat yourself up if you found yourself not focused. Because let me just tell you, it's almost a natural thing to sometimes get off focus. How can you say that? Is there anybody in the room who besides me who has ever found themselves daydreaming? Yeah, right? You know, yeah. I mean, look, I know it's a lady could be talking to me about something, you know, and I'm listening to her initially. It's not like I don't want to listen to her. And then the next thing you know, she said, babe, are you? I said, oh, I'm sorry, babe. You know, just like that, my mind went somewhere else. And then, you know, lady had to help me bring my mind back, praise the Lord, right? And so it's kind of natural anyways to just lose focus. So what happens is the enemy will work overtime when we're going through something to cause us to lose our focus because he says if I can cause them to lose their focus, they'll stop praying. If they won't get on the prayer call, let's be honest, we can make excuses, and I'm not being mean, but we can make excuses why we don't pray. You know, okay, you couldn't make it on the prayer call. No problem today. Did you pray at all? I mean, a whole 24 hours went by. I'm just saying give God 5 or 10 minutes. Isn't that right? And so the enemy tries to use that to get us to make excuses not to pray. You got it? Not to read God's word. Not just to listen to it or read a devotion for 5 or 10 minutes, not realizing that that one devotion can give us enough strength to get us through the entire day. Not to come to church and those kind of things. And so it's really the enemy's job to distract us, but we must stay focus. And that's what I want to talk to you about. Y'all know I'm a three-point preacher for most of my lessons, so I've got 3 points that I want to show you or want to share with you as it relates to staying focused, all right? So, are y'all ready to dive in? All right, here we go. I must refocus when, number one, when there are negative influences pulling on me, all right? And sometimes negative influences are pulling on you even when you're not going through something, you got it? That just happens to be something, especially in the culture that we're living in, you know, all these negative influences. So that is why it is imperative that I hang around people of like precious faith. I want to hang around people who are going somewhere. You got it? I'm a person who I like success. I like to dream big. You know, I like to believe big. And I like to hang around people who like to dream big and like to believe big. I like to hang around people who just speak the word all the time. You got it? You know, and I'm not talking about being super spiritual. I'm not talking about that at all. But what I'm saying is, this morning we were getting ready, and Courtney said something about her computer, and I thought she was saying that something was wrong with it. And she said, oh, no, Pastor, I'm not talking about that. I said, okay. And I said, because Lady and I, we just got done praying, you know, for a seamless service. She said, and I'm in agreement with that. You got, and what most people don't realize is people don't just go around saying, I'm in agreement with that. You have to have been taught the word of faith to understand the power of agreement, that when we say we're agreeing, this thing gonna work out. I want to be around people who are not going to talk negative, who are going to say, no, we're going to get through the other side of this. I might not know all the scripture, but I know that our pastor taught us that God is with us and we cannot fail. I know greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. I know that God is with me and God is great. Like I might not know everything. I might not know how to get to second Hezekiah, but I know enough. There is no second Hezekiah. All right, but I know enough, praise the Lord. You got it, to declare the word of the Lord. I'm just playing with y'all. I know enough, you got it, you know, to walk out this life. I know enough to know if I just go get in a quiet place and start talking to God, he hears me. And I know enough, I've got enough faith that not only does he hear me, but he'll grant whatever petition, whatever request I have. You got it? I know enough that if I make a mistake, I can go to God and ask him to forgive me for my sins, and he'll forgive me, and it puts me right back in right standing. I know enough to know that repentance doesn't put me at the back of the line. It just puts me back in line. So I might not know everything somebody else knows, but I know enough word to get me from where I am to where I need to be. Does that make sense? Give the Lord a big praise in the house. But that is why you have to hang around people, you got it, who are going somewhere, all right? 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter and the 33rd verse, it teaches us, do not be misled. It says, in the KJV, I think it says, evil communication corrupts good manners. This is the NIV. It says, bad company corrupts good character. I always tell people, show me your friends and I'll show you your future. That's the bottom line. Show me your friends and I'll show you your future. That's something that we poured into our children. We've always taught them. You know, Jay's in the military now. And so, you know, with him, you know, now I'm just at a place where I'm not with him all the time. I just trust God. That even if he goes to the wrong environment, some kind of way, the Holy Spirit is going to make sure he gets back to the right environment. Like, you understand what I'm saying? And so, but I've always told my kids, you got it, who you hang out with is important. You got it? You know, I can tell he's been hanging out with somebody right recently because of the way he's been talking. You understand? He's been talking about this and been talking about that. You know, I said, okay, praise the Lord. I don't know who God has raised up to be in his ear, but he's raised up somebody to be in his ear. You got it? And that is how we have to be, especially with our children and our grandchildren and our nieces and nephews. We can't be there dotting every I and crossing every T, but because God is omnipresent and he's everywhere at all times, you got it? You know, it doesn't matter. He will raise up somebody to make sure that he helps them. Isn't that right? And so show me your friends and I'll show you your future. If you hang out with people who are negative, if you're one person who's positive and hang out with 10 people who are negative, the principle of dominant influence teaches us that most likely they're going to impact you. If you hang out with 10 negative people long enough, if you're not careful, you're going to find yourself starting to say some negative stuff. You got it? Because birds of a feather, you become like who you spend time with, all right? I saw this somewhere. I don't know where I saw it. It's not in the Bible, but it makes some good sense, all right? If you hang out with 5 confident people, you'll be the 6th. If you hang out with 5 intelligent people, you'll be the 6th. If you hang out with 5 millionaires, you'll be the 6th. Somebody say, I receive, right? now say, but if you hang out with 5 idiots, you'll be the 6th. Hold on, moral of the story, be smart. Right? You got it? Well, pastor, I don't know, okay, you was doing good till you got to that part. That can't be in the word, Proverbs 13 and 20. Watch what it says. Become wise by walking with who?
Wise.
The wise. Hang out with fools, and what's going to happen? Watch your life fall. I mean, that's what the word of God says. And that's what we see it time and time again. There's people we love, whether it's friends or families or cousins or aunties, and you can see them hanging out with the wrong people, and that's why they live the life that they live. Now, of course, we love them. We pray for them. We hope they get themselves together. Come on, somebody. But the moral of the story is if you hang out around with people of like precious faith, you'll get to where you're going a whole lot faster. Now, thank God, he's a merciful God. You got it? That if people are, you know, hanging out with the wrong people, they can get themselves together, and God will help you get to right where you're going. And that's one thing I love about God. Oh, man. I it is amazing that we serve a God that literally, if you messed up yesterday you can say, I'm sorry, and you're already back in right standing with him. The Bible says that he is rich in mercy. The word rich means abundantly supplied, i.e. more than enough, i.e. never going to lack in this, i.e. got everything and always will have it. You got it? And the Bible says that God is rich in mercy. He is abundantly supplied in mercy. Okay, all right, let me help you. So when we typically give our kids allowances, I don't know about you, but I've never given my kid an allowance every day. No, a lot of times we give our kids allowance, what, once a week, maybe once every other week. You got, for some of us, if we get paid twice a month, well, you get allowance twice a month. Come on, somebody. Y'all know we got budgets and that kind of thing, you know, and those kind of things. But God is the only somebody I know that says, I'm not going to do it every other week. I'm not going to do it even once a week, but I am rich in mercy. So every day you wake up, I give you a brand new day with brand new mercy. And thank God for brand new mercies. You got it? No, that doesn't mean we should go around just doing anything we want to do. You got it? Paul says, should we continue in sin? That faith may abound because he's so rich in mercy. He says, God forbid. You got it? But we can't deny the fact that he is rich in mercy. You got it? And that, watch this, when I need it, it is always available. Does that make sense? Amen. So I must choose the company I keep and the environments I'm in very well. All right. That's why, you know, this is just me, you know, but I believe that, you know, all married couples, you got it. You should hang around other good married couples. You got it. I think it's dangerous. You got it. If you're married, you know, and all you hang around are single folks and then don't let them not love the Lord. Because you're going to end up doing something you don't need to do. Does that make sense? I'm not saying you can't have no, because, you know, we like, even in this church, we're going to have married, single, you know. But if they save, that's good. You got it? But we have to be careful. I believe that Lady LeConte and I have set before you a very good example of what marriage should look like. This December, we'll have been married 25 years, all right? And then look at all the leadership that we have at our church. All of their marriages, how long they've been married, and those kind of things. We have, so everything flows from the head down. So it starts with me and Lady, but you can just look in our leadership. Oh, I mean, they've been married this long. And they actually look like they like each other. The smile looks for real. You got it? And so what am I saying? I don't really want you to understand marriage from what you see on Instagram from some influencer. Come on, somebody. Because that might not be what marriage is really like. Because what happens is, initially it might seem good and they pull you in and then that thing will flip. Because see, the devil is real big on bait and switch. You understand what I'm saying? I'll pull you in to make sure. But then all of a sudden they start talking about, well, it's okay because we have chosen that we, I don't even know what that's called, to have other, to swing. You know, we married, what's it called when they say open marriage? Thank you. Yeah. The devil is alive. We closing every door in the name of Jesus. Huh? Either way, it's wrong. That's right. But see, that's what will happen. And if you're not careful, because you see this influencer and because they drive a Rolls Royce, and I'm not knocking that, they live in a big house. If you're not careful, that's how the enemy entices you. You got it? They're driving what you want to drive, and they're living in what you want to live in. But what happens is, in that part, I don't have a problem with, because because there's certain people that I follow that are very successful that are not saved. But I know how to divide the difference. You understand what I'm saying? I'm only following you because you have a millionaire mindset. You understand? Because you understand success and you have good strategies. But all that other foolishness y'all doing, I ain't got nothing to do with that. Does that make sense? So sometimes the reason, our marriages aren't as strong is because we hanging out with the wrong people. You could hang out with somebody else who is married, but if they don't like their wife, if you're not careful, they'll try to talk you into not liking your wife. Come on, somebody. I don't want to get myself in trouble, so I'm just going to look right here. Doc, I don't understand falling out of love. I don't know how we can fall out of love, but praise the Lord. I mean, you know, you might need to go get some help. You might need to go talk to somebody, you know, and those kind of things. But we ain't just falling out of love. you got it. Me and lady, we gonna be married till either Jesus return or we go to heaven. Yeah. She could try to leave me if she want to. She gonna go, I'm packing my bags. I'm gone. That's what, I'm packing my bags too. Where we going? I got my own car. I'm getting in my car, and I'm going to follow you. And if I did anything wrong, I'm going to ask God to forgive me. I'm going to ask you to forgive me. I'll ask the church to forgive me. There's no shame in my game, but we's going to be married together until Jesus returns. Right? And you have to have that kind of conviction. You got it? And no pastor hasn't done anything wrong, and no lady ain't trying to go nowhere. You understand what I'm saying? You got it. I got to keep her from running behind me at the house. Praise the Lord. You know? I used to always run behind that girl at the house. She would never run behind me. I kept praying one day, and one day came. Praise the Lord. All right. All right. All right. Praise the Lord. What am I trying to get you to see? That an incredible marriage is possible? I'm not saying you don't go through difficulties. I'm not saying that you don't go through tough times. I'm not saying you won't have a disagreement or even an argument, but you have to learn how to temper that and allow the fruit of the Spirit to be in operation, and the Holy Spirit will be like, y'all are going too far. And then you just pull that thing back in and remember, no, I remember the commitment we made. You got it? It seems like we've forgotten for better or for worse. It seems like we've forgotten for richer or for poor. You got it? In health and in sickness. I often know it. I have people repeating it. Yeah, but I mean... But we have to make up, watch this, but if you, watch this, will follow us and some of the leadership, we follow those who through faith and patience. You got it? Then you'll be like, you know what? If they can make it, we can make it. I'm hearing them say, yeah, they don't always agree, but they work through it. Well, then we're going to have to start working through our agreements. You got it? And not let the devil always get in because you see all these influencers. You got it? You know, I mean, I saw one the other day was having a photo shoot because they were divorced, holding the lighter up to their marriage certificate. And I mean, I'm talking about getting hundreds of thousands of likes, and that's exactly what the enemy wants. He wants to pull us in. Come on, somebody. He wants to entice us with something that initially seems okay, and then flip that thing, and if you're not careful, you got it in your mind. You got it? Or, oh, no, I'm going to stay married. I'm going to stay married to my wife, but I'm going to just do what I do on the side. You can't do that. You are not your own. You've been bought with a price. You got it? And so we have to understand the importance of doing it God's way. If I do it God's way, I'm going to get God results in my life. You got it? I know I haven't gotten through my lesson, and we probably won't get through it, but that's okay. You know why? Because I'm how do I say this nicely? You know, I'm really sick and tired of the devil and the schemes that he has, that he tries to put on the people of God to get us to think that we don't have to live holy anymore, we don't have to pray anymore, we don't need to come to church anymore. Man, that's the furthest thing from the truth. Yeah, and why would you not want to come to an amazing church like Without Limits? We have fun. Come on, somebody. We living for Jesus. Come on. I mean, we, you know, if you come here and get this word and apply it in your life, you're going to live an amazing life anyways. Who wants to live like, I don't understand that. I don't. You know, I've pretty much been saved all my life. You go, grew up Christian church. You got it. I'm in Christian church, Christian home. You know, and thank God for a good father and mother who set the example. You got it? And those kind of things. And so, you know, so I don't know all about that. I don't know about the club. Don't make sense that we getting ready at 10:30 at night. I don't understand. That's bedtime for me. I don't understand that. Some things I don't understand. Got it. I don't understand why I would want to drink something and then have a headache the whole next day. And then, you know, that's good. I don't understand those things. Like my pastor Taylor, he would say, T-H-I-N-K. Like, just think about it for a minute. That doesn't seem like anything that would work out for me. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. All right, number two. Everybody say number two. When thoughts of lack and sickness are dominating my thoughts. When thoughts of lack and sickness are down. And I want to talk to you about this one because these are two areas the enemy really tries to work over on us. First of all, let me give you 2 Corinthians 10, 3 through 5, and then I'll explain it. For though we live in the world, watch this, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not weapons of the world. So they're not natural, but they're spiritual. All right? On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. See, if we go into an environment, let's just use your job. Let's just say your job is just a bad environment. You got it? Well, you don't really have to quit that job. You can change that environment with the words of your mouth. You got, no, I mean, you know, God opened another door, praise the Lord. I'm not saying you just have to stay there, but I'm just trying to get you to understand every environment you walk into, if it's not godly, it doesn't mean you have to go. You might be the light that's going to change that environment. Does that make sense? Yeah, you got to understand that, all right? So he says, verse 5, we demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God and take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. And that's what the enemy does. He works overtime. The Bible talks about the fiery darts of the wicked one. Those are just mental thoughts that he shoots at you to make you think it's not going to work. You messed up. It's too late. Or that feeling you got in your body is cancer. Or it's this and it's that. And you're going to die. And you know, and you can't allow all those thoughts just to keep coming at you. And so the Bible says that we have to cast down every imagination and every high thing that is all itself against the name and the knowledge of God and bring every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. And sometimes that can be a full-time job. You know, especially, you know, let's just say you've been doing good and all of a sudden there's, you know, something's feeling a little funny. You know, and you're like, oh, okay, no problem. And then the devil will send somebody and say, oh, you remember Auntie had that same problem and she died. That's what the devil will do. You know, and the first thing you got to do is open it. Well, first of all, I'm sorry for what happened to Auntie, but I'm not Auntie. And I got the word on the inside of me. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. You got it? I am not the sick trying to get healed. I am the healed resisting sickness and disease. As a matter of fact, if there's anything that's in my body, I know the doctor's appointment is 2 weeks down the road. We ain't got time to wait on that. I command it to die, to dry up, to disintegrate, to leave, and to never return in Jesus' name. Right? Yeah. I mean, so I'm just going so the doctor can give me a good report and just get in agreement with what I've already been saying. Does that make sense? Yeah. And that is how you have to live your life. Isaiah 53 and 5. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes. What's those last three words? We are healed. You're not going to be healed, you are healed. You got it? By the time we get to Peter, he says, you were healed. He said, it's already a finished, it's a done deal because of what Jesus did for you on Calvary. I think this is a good place to go home. I got a lot more notes, but that, we're not going to get to that, amen? Maybe on Tuesday night, I'll just pick this up because that's a whole nother lesson, praise the Lord. Watch this. So God sends his only son, Jesus, who knew no sin, who became sin, that we might become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, right? And it is not anything that we can do to make us so great, for by grace are we saved through faith. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So now God sends his only son, Jesus, to be the perfect sacrifice, to pay the sin debt for me, and I don't have to work for it. All I have to do is receive, yeah, repent of my sins, you got it, receive Christ into my life. Watch this. But it doesn't stop there. I need to start living for Jesus. You got it? Because what happens is, if you accept Christ into your life and get saved, but you don't start, you know, getting in the word, you know, you could be a Christian and still live a defeated life. You got it? Doesn't mean God doesn't love you, because he absolutely loved you. He sent his only son, Jesus. But we have a part to play. So there's some things that we have to do. That's why I tell people, once you get saved, welcome to the family of God. Number one, get in a good Bible-believing, Bible-teaching church. You got it? Where you're going to hear the word, where there's going to be some good worship, where you can be around people of like precious faith. You understand what I'm saying? So, because iron sharpens iron, and we strengthen one another. See, those are the things. Get on the prayer call, you know, Monday through Friday, the devotions that we have on the website. And if you don't want to go to our devotions, it's okay. If you go to BibleGateway.com, I can give you a whole list of them. You know, just make sure you're getting the word on the inside. Like, I'm not such much. If you don't ever listen to anything on my website, I don't care. But you're like, oh, but I listen to that guy. He's a word preacher. Listen to him as long as you want to. Listen. Jesus said, as long as the gospel is being preached, that's all that matters. as long as your life is being changed, as long as you are growing and you're being developed and you're shaping into the image of Christ, and then watch this, you're being a light so someone else in this dark world can come to Jesus. That's all that really matters. That's all that, because at the end of the day, how many will agree that all the glory belongs to God? No flesh needs to get caught up in it. All the glory belongs to Jesus. And so, heads are bowed and eyes are closed. I believe the enemy tries to work overtime to distract you. I do. With, you know, because there's, you know, life can be life. Situations can be situations. Situation on the job, situation in the family, situation with this, situation with that. And I'm not making light of that, because those are real situations that you deal with. So I'm not making light of that. But what I'm saying is, don't allow the enemy to cause you to lose focus on what really matters. And what really matters has not changed. And what has not changed is the word of God. 2 Corinthians 2 and 14 says, now thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ. And I'm telling you, if you'll stay in Christ, if you'll do it his way, he will get you through the situation that you're going through, and he'll make sure that you come out on the other side with nothing missing, nothing lacking, nothing broken in your life. If you lose some things along the way, God makes a commitment that he'll make up the difference in your life. So God is with you, and you cannot fail. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Some of you just need to get your fight back. I'm telling you. Some of you just need to get your fight back. Some of you just need to tell the devil, man, I'm back and I'm better than ever. I'm back and I'm built to last. I'm not going anywhere. I'm going to keep confessing this word until what I'm believing for comes to pass. I don't care. The devil will be like, well, you've been confessing it for a long time. And you got to tell the devil, I will keep confessing it and keep confessing it and keep confessing it until it manifests in my life. And that, and you, and that's the confidence that you have to have. That's the conviction that you have to have, that God is going to get you through what you're going through. If you're in the room and you're online, you don't know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, I want to give you the opportunity. And the first thing I want to tell you is, don't buy into this lie that there's several ways to God, because there's just not. And this is this new thing with this culture. You can just do whatever you want, live however you want, and just, no, the Bible teaches that Jesus is the way, he's the truth, he's the life, that no man comes to the Father except by him. And I know you might say, well, that's bold. I'm just going to tell you the truth, because I love you, and I want to see you in heaven when we all go, you know, down the road. And so Jesus is the only way, but God has already made it simple. Jesus has already done the hard work. You just have to come to the knowledge that I'm a sinner and I need to be saved. I need to repent of my sins. I need to ask Jesus to come into my heart and be the Lord of my life. And the moment I do that, he comes in. My spirit man automatically begins to become renewed. Then I start coming to church so I can learn the word, so I can renew the soulish part of me. So that way, watch this, I can be made into the image of him. And it's as simple as that. The Bible says that if we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, that we shall be saved. So if you're in the room or online and you don't know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, I want you to pray this prayer. If you're in the room or you're online and you need to rededicate your life to God, I want you to know God is not mad at you. He's not upset with you. I just want you to pray this prayer. If you're in the room or online and you are a Christian, love God. Know that if you went to if you close your eyes on this earth right now, you go to heaven. But I missed the mark. I got an attitude. I said some things I shouldn't have done. I acted a way that I shouldn't act. It's okay. I just want you to pray this prayer, because repentance doesn't put you at the back of the line. It just puts you back in line. Now, well, Pastor, what about church membership and all that kind of thing? You know, we are so easy around here. If you want to join our church, that connection card, just fill it out and make sure you send it back to us if you're online. If you're in the room, make sure that you just, if you're a first-time friend, bring it to us. There's just turn it into somebody. So today, I want you to use that connection card if you're a first-time friend. But today, I also want you to use that connection card if you're going to get saved, if you're going to rededicate your life, or if you're going to join this church. That connection card will cover it all. So all the decisions you make, fill them out, and then just turn that in. But for now, let's go ahead and seal the deal. I want everyone in the room and online to repeat this prayer, even if you're already saved, because it's going to help the person next to you that needs to pray this prayer. Say, Father, I come to you asking you to forgive me for sinning against you, a holy God. I know Jesus died and shed his blood just for me. Jesus, come into my heart. be my Lord, be my Savior, and from this day forward, I'll serve you. Now, Satan, I denounce you and every evil work. You have nothing to do with me. I have nothing to do with you. Jesus is my Savior. He's my Lord, and I'll always serve him. Father, we thank you for what you've done. We seal it now to the day of redemption. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Can you give the Lord a big praise all over the building?